Well, if you or a family member are struggling with hearing loss, you're definitely going to want to stay listening today. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today we'll be taking a look at the causes of hearing loss, how to prevent it, and how to get it tested for it. We'll also talk about some treatment options with our guest, Melanie Burr Lawler. It's her second time here. She's a licensed audiologist, a clinical associate professor in the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders at the UW-Madison. Has your hearing been affected by noise in your environment or maybe a rock show or something like that? How do you protect your ears? Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our page. Love to hear from you. Melanie Burr Lawler, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you back again. And pretty big health problem here in the U.S., isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. So hearing loss is a pretty big problem. About 36 million Americans have hearing loss. And then if we're talking just about hearing loss that's preventable, so noise-induced hearing loss, the CDC estimates that even in the younger age ranges, so about 16% of teenagers have some degree of noise-induced hearing loss. And then in the, you know, the older, slightly older ages, 26 to 59-year-olds, about 15% of people in that category have some sort of noise-induced hearing loss. So that is about 26 million people that have hearing loss that could have been prevented.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about causes and my own misspent youth, mm-hmm. Listening to music and going to rock concerts and things of that nature. So that could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is genetics, do genetics ever play a role?
They can, yes. And sometimes that can be interwoven, and sometimes that can be a whole separate issue. But a big factor is being able to figure out how to listen safely first at safe levels and be able to enjoy yourself, still go to those concerts and have fun,
mm-hmm.
But take care of your ears so that you don't have the repercussions later.
Yeah, and it's, what about aging? Is it, I'm getting older.
Yes.
It a normal part of aging?
Yes. So it's not everyone develops hearing loss with age, but the rate of hearing loss does increase as we age. And it's called, there's a name for it even, it's called presbycusis.
Oh.
And that is hearing loss that's associated with age. And it is very, very common. And it's something that we see a lot in the clinic. And there is treatment and help for it, but it has a huge impact on people's life and on their communication.
I remember going to a Rolling Stones concert where I was dead center in the second row, and my ears rang afterwards for like, I don't know, a couple of days, it
mm-hmm.
seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
So I was probably doing a little damage to my ears.
Yes, that is definitely a sign that you are doing a little bit of damage to your ears. So the fancy name for that is tinnitus, or some people say tinnitus. And it's kind of like a warning sound coming from your ears, just that you have exposed them to a high level of noise for a long enough time that probably they're sustaining some sort of damage. It can seem temporary, and sometimes it can be temporary, but Even once or twice in very high noise levels can do damage. So usually if you hear that type of sound, it's a sign that you've done something that is affecting your system in a bad way.
And I've got a couple of friends who are carpenters, you know, and they're pounding with, you know, and that when the mm-hmm. the hammer hits the nail, it's a loud, and then they're running saws and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, one of them I know wears hearing protectors.
I would highly recommend it. Even for people who are amateur carpenters or snow blowing, using a leaf blower, that kind of thing, it's a great idea to just pop on some earmuffs or get some foam earplugs, get them in your ears really well, and you're going to save yourself the discomfort of having that loud noise at the time. And then in the long term, it'll just pay off with dividends because you want to take care of your ears for communication down the road.
So yeah, definitely. Well, for sure. I actually bought an electric lawnmower.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it'd be quieter. No, it's not. No? It's noisy, too, but not as noisy as some of the other mowers, but still.
Mm-hmm.
I know it when I'm done mowing. John has a question, so let's go there. John, hi, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for taking my call. The most frustrating thing in my life is the fact that I cannot locate sound. I have not had hearing in one ear ever since I can remember as a little kid. But as I've gotten older, it has become more frustrating because I can have my cell phone in my pocket, and if I forget that I put it there, I'm in my 80s. But I've had this problem all my adult life. If I forget I put it in my pocket and it rings, I can't locate it. I don't know where it is. If I put my phone down and it rings, I cannot find it. It can be 3 feet from me.
Oh.
I cannot find it. It is extremely frustrating.
I would bet it is extremely frustrating. Melanie, is this something that you've dealt with in the past?
Yes, it sounds like it's very frustrating to you, and it's something we hear a lot in the clinic. Our bodies are, I can offer you an explanation, I can't offer you a perfect solution. So our bodies are made to have two ears, typically, and our brains synthesize the signals that come to each ear, and that helps us tell what direction sound is coming from in space. You know, up, down, all around us. And so we use these little minute cues, like the difference it takes from sound to get from one ear to the other, to help tell what direction things are coming from. With one ear, you still are hearing the sound, but it makes it very, very hard to tell what direction sound is coming from. And there's not typically, if you said you've had a hearing loss in the other ear since you were very, very young, and
It's one. I can only hear out of one ear.
Right. And so the other ear isn't really helping out, and so that's obviously that's unfortunately the source of the problem, and we can't most likely bring back that other ear if it's never had good hearing. There are some strategies you can use if it's something that like having a light on things to indicate where they're at to help give you that visual cue, but there's no perfect solution to help tell what direction sounds are coming from.
Yeah.
I'd say it can be a safety issue in some cases, like looking for alerting sounds or crossing the street. You know, just being aware of it is part of the strategy.
Yeah. I'm sorry you have that problem, John. You know, I've had situations where I've been in the woods, let's say, and I've hear a sound, like maybe it's a deer or something walking, and figuring out the location for that can be difficult. And I wonder, as opposed to being in, I guess, where you've got four walls and the sound bounces around a little bit, maybe helps you more.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure about how spatial. I think it does depend on the echoes in our environment, and we use all sorts of amazing information.
Yeah.
But I'm not certain about how much space needs to be there to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, it's very interesting. John, I wish we had more advice for you, but I thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call.
I have one other comment that I would say is that, you know, you're relying upon your one ear, and I would say this kind of goes along with what we were talking about with the noise exposure. I would do everything in your power to keep that ear protected and safe, you know, not expose it to loud listening levels, because that's your dominant side, and that's what you've got to rely on. So wear your hearing protection on that good ear for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dean in Cedarburg next. Dean, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes, and thank you for taking my call. I want to say that years back I worked in a noisy environment for quite a while, but very early on the noise was bothering me, so I started wearing ear protection early, and it was basically things to put in our ear, and the only problem I had with that was it trapped moisture in the ear, and so I had this fungus infections now and then. But I was going to say the person I'm marrying to is has a significant amount of hearing loss, and she just has the television too loud for me. And I was wondering if there's an easy solution other than wearing earplugs.
Yeah.
That's a great question, and that comes up a lot in my clinic because often two people in a relationship don't have the same hearing. Does she wear any type of hearing aid or amplification?
No, no.
Okay.
So one piece of advice I'd give would be for her to come in and or go to an audiologist and get a nice comprehensive hearing evaluation and see if there's some sort of technology that she could wear to help make her communication easier, to hear the TV better. Just it would probably improve just that back and forth when you're sitting and trying to watch the TV at home. But a quick and easy solution is there are some really nice devices you can buy for the television. There's something called TV ears, and you plug one end of it into the TV, and then your wife would wear the other piece. It's like a receiver, like little headphones on her ears, and it sends the signal from the TV to the headphones on her ears, and she can turn it to a comfortable volume, and then you can listen at a volume that's comfortable at the same time.
Ears?
TV ears. And then there are other ones if you look online.
They're not all that expensive.
They're not
either.
That expensive.
We tried something, you know, like 10, 12 years ago, and basically it didn't plug into the television, and she thought it was very poor sound quality.
I think you're going to get a lot better quality here 10 years later. And those are things I think can't you try those, Melanie?
A lot of times I would make sure you know the return policy before you buy and make sure that you're buying it from a reputable source. There's actually a place here you're in Cedarburg. There's a place in Madison. I think there might be something close to you too, where there's like a showroom that you can go in and try some of that technology before you buy. The place in Madison is called Ultratech.
Ultratech. Mm-hmm. There we go.
And in our clinic at UW-Madison, we're on campus. We have some devices like that as well that people can try.
Okay. All right. Thank you much.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
A lot for calling. And sometimes the settings, there are settings on your television that you can alter, but you have to, well, some sets anyway, you can go into the settings because sometimes the music will be louder than the voice, or if you're listening to a sporting event, the crowd noise is louder than the voice, but that can actually be adjusted within your set.
Yeah, that's a comment we get a lot, is that it's, you know, I can hear the TV, but I can't understand because there's the background noise and then the commercials come on and they're so loud. And so to the extent that you can, I'd suggest adjusting those. And a lot of people find benefit from turning on the subtitles or the closed captions with shows as well.
On to Mary in La Crosse. Mary, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. My question was about clarity. I'm 78 and I can get a ear checkup once a year, and when I've done that, my hearing isn't that bad, but the problem is clarity. And two things have happened over the years. One, I always wanted to see Brett Favre play football, and my son lived up in the cities and took me to a game at the Dome. And
that's noisy.
And I did a really stupid thing. I wet Kleenex and stuffed my ears with Kleenex and couldn't get it out of my left ear. And it was 2 days later before I finally got to the ear doctor and they were able to get it out. And then the other thing, I was on a 2-hour flight and there was a couple next to me with a little girl who they did tell me had an ear infection, and she screamed bloody murder the whole 2 hours. There was no seat for me to be turned into. And at one point in time, they were passing her around and she gave a blast into my left ear. And I actually had an earache for 3 days and couldn't hear out of that ear for 3 days. But at any rate, so I'm left with tinnitus in that ear only. As I said, my problem is with clarity. And I always want to tell people, can you enunciate better? And then when it comes to the TV, I always have it loud. And my son bought me a sound bar, but that still doesn't help. So is there a way to be able to hear more clearly without being concerned about the volume?
That is a great question. You actually brought up several really excellent points, so thank you. So speaking to that first comment that you had, or question about sometimes you can hear, but you can't always understand. If you hadn't already had hearing tests to check your acuity levels, the softest sounds that you could hear, I would recommend that, because oftentimes hearing loss and difficulty with clarity go hand in hand. They're not the same thing necessarily. They're very tied together, but some people have more or less difficulty with the clarity. The volume part, or the levels, that part is fairly easy to restore. We can amplify sound, do really amazing things with sound amplification these days. The clarity part, that is tricky because that is how your nerve and your brain are interpreting the signal. And you can turn a sound up, but it doesn't always become perfectly clear for someone. I'm talking with technology. So I like to use the analogy. It's kind of like you have a radio, but it's a little bit off the station. And it's turned down if you have hearing loss and some clarity difficulties. And you can turn up the volume, but it still might be a little bit off the station, so that clarity can still be a struggle. So strategies that you're already using are some of the things we recommend, like asking people to repeat, asking, like if you're on the phone and having difficulty understanding a speaker, asking them to slow down. Sometimes it's not how loud they are, it's how quickly they're speaking. With the television, I'll echo a previous comment I made about putting on the closed captions, putting on the subtitles, maybe looking into a device just to help with the TV, getting that sound directly to your ears. That cuts down on all the other sounds in your environment. Or on the flip side, if you're trying to talk to a partner and the TV is on or the radio in the background, that can make it extra hard. And so turning down the sound, the background noise, whenever possible when you're trying to have a conversation, all of those things can help.
You might all, just in terms of clarity, if things are sounding muddy, sometimes it's because they're very bass in tone. And if you can change, well, here's me, the expert. I'm not really an expert on this, but I know from my own class. I was teaching a class earlier and I was playing something on a particular recorder and it felt a little muffled. So I altered the treble and made it more treble, and then things were crisper and easier to hear. So if there's a setting on your TV set or certainly your radio, that can help, can it, Melanie?
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because a lot of people, you were asking about age-related hearing loss, and a lot of us as we age start to lose some of those high-frequency sounds in our hearing ability. And so it's kind of a double benefit. It can help everyone to some extent. You know, there's user preference, too.
Yeah.
But a lot of us need a little more high-pitched sound. And so that
so
can
go
help.
With the, if you can make an adjustment, and maybe if you're not feeling handy about your TV, maybe your son can take a look at the settings and see if he can't adjust the treble. Because I know you can on mine, so I think you should be able on most relatively new sets at least. So something else to think about. Thanks a lot for calling, Mary. Appreciate it. Talking today about your ears with Melanie Burr-Lawler, licensed audiologist, clinical associate professor in the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders at UW-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network. Right now, taking a look at noise-induced hearing loss with Melanie Burr-Lawler. Great to have her along, and certainly if you have a question, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You know, Chris called and left a message to say that she was able to get a hearing test at UW. Hers was free. It may be an option for those who don't have insurance that covers hearing, and there is some of that. It depends a little bit on your income status, I would expect. But what goes on at the clinic?
Yeah, so I work in the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders, but I also am an audiologist in the clinic. We're actually on campus at a building called Goodnight Hall. We have a speech and hearing clinic. It's a very active clinic. We serve all ages. We work separate from the hospital. So we're not part of the, we're friendly with them, but I'm not them. I don't work at the hospital. And we see people for everything. Most of our patients are private pay. We take some third party payers, but mostly people pay directly. We have a very unique and special program that I actually run. It's called the Hearing Aid Recycling Program. And you can read about it online if you Google UW-Madison Hearing Aid Recycling Program or HARP, like the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
If you know someone or if you cannot afford hearing aids, and we know that they are very expensive, this is a really awesome program that's designed to help get hearing health care to people who cannot afford them. So if you qualify, we have a long waiting list, but if you qualify for this program, and you make it through the wait list, then you receive a full audiologic evaluation. And if you qualify for hearing aids, you receive hearing aids through this program as well,
that's
no charge.
Really great deal. I wonder if that's, do you know offhand if any other areas of the state have such a plan?
We're a pretty unique program. I actually get applications from all over the country. But there are some areas of the state that use a Lions Club program or a Kiwanis Club program for something similar. I've received some awesome donations from Epic in Madison, and I collect hearing aids all over the city from people who donate them to support our program here. So it's kind of a one-woman show.
But if somebody has a hearing aid that they want to donate...
Yes, you can donate them. We have the donation sites are on our website, and you can also drop them off. A lot of the local audiologists and funeral homes collect for me, and then I drive around and pick them up.
Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. Maybe we'll get Jill... Why don't you put that up on our Facebook page, too? Put that link up on our page, the HARP link, and we'll get it. If you didn't get all that information just now, go to our page. Ellie in Bailey's Harbor, thanks for calling.
Hi. I have kind of a two-part question. My husband he's going to be 31 in April, so very young for any sort of hearing issues, but when he exercises, he likes to use earbuds and listen to pretty intense music to keep himself amped for a good workout. I give him a hard time about that, and I think I know the answer to this, but I was just wondering if you could clear up whether or not that puts him at risk for hearing loss or hearing impairment, if I'm just being a nagging wife. And then the second part of the question would be if there's like a consistent thing that you would expect to happen if he was starting to have some sort of hearing effects from the earbud use.
Yeah. You walk around campus, and I would say 3/4 of the people that are students that I'm seeing are walking around with earbuds, and you wonder.
Yeah, I love this question because it's so relevant right now. I actually listen to earbuds. I love music. I'm a music lover my whole life. So first, let me say that there is a way to listen safely. You just cannot turn that volume up. You need to not listen for an extended period of time. And so give your
ears
breaks. Well, it depends on, so it's kind of a two-pronged issue. It's one is how loud it is, and the other is how long you listen. So you can listen at a kind of moderate level for a longer period of time than a high level. So it's a little bit of a trade-off. The maximum volume, so if we want to define it like if you were a factory worker, okay? Mm-hmm. So the OSHA, actually, the Occupational Safety and Health Commission regulates how loud people in factories or in businesses can have their environment be to keep them safe. So if I was OSHA, I would say that a maximum volume of an MP3 player or iPad or iPod or mm-hmm. iPhone, that would be 15 minutes is all you can listen at maximum mm-hmm. volume. And that's actually not... There's another organization that has a more conservative standard that's probably more protective. But even OSHA says 15 minutes at the maximum volume. After that, you're doing damage to your ears. So turn it down. Listen at a softer level, no more than 60 to 80% of the maximum volume if you're going to listen for any extended
period. Any length of time.
Exactly.
And I would guess that, let's say, I'm listening to Paco Bell's Canon in D, and then the next thing I'm listening to Bruce Springsteen or, maybe a group with a lot of brass. There's a difference.
Well, to some extent, but I think that is a common misconception, is the type of music doesn't necessarily matter. If you listen loud enough, you can do as much damage with the symphony as you would do with hard rock. And so I'm really glad you brought that up. It's really the level, not necessarily the type.
There we go. Well, there you go, Ellie. Harp at him a little bit.
Yeah, and so you
I'll keep it up. Yeah, definitely. If he does, I mean, is it reasonable to anticipate that there would be some effect at this early age, or is he's got good hearing years left before he would actually see ramifications?
But he could have a long time with poor hearing, though, couldn't he, Melanie?
Yeah, so you asked, like, what can I expect from him across the lifespan? It does, it really depends on how much he's listening and how loud. One thing I'd say is if he notices his ears feel kind of muffled or dampened or has that ringing in his ears that we were talking about earlier, those are all signs that he's doing permanent damage. Just those are the short-term signs. it sometimes doesn't rear its ugly head in terms of a hearing loss that we can report on an audiogram until much later. But the early signs are there, and we're starting to pay more and more attention to those.
Yeah, and you'll be hollering at him louder and louder as the years go on. Ellie.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. I'll be adding to the problem. Hopefully not. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Let's see. Jim in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to your show for about 4 months or so. Excellent show.
Thank you.
I wanted to weigh in on the ears because as an adult living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I went through public school system. And part of the problem I had early on, say, when I was in the second and the fourth grade, was that they did hearing tests during the 50s and early 60s on children. They said my ears were all right. But my ears were extremely bad because my mother had a hearing loss. And what happened to me is that I was labeled as a kid that was misbehaving or had selective hearing. That wasn't the case. And I was ridiculed by my teachers and labeled by some of the administrators. And later on in life, I went on to school. I loved going to school, but I didn't like reading. And when I couldn't hear, I became very irritated as a child and had no understanding of what was going on. Later in life, I was exposed to a hearing doctor at the Bockel Building in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who discovered that I had terrible ears. I couldn't go into selective service at the time because a live bomb or something would just take my eyes to go deaf. So to make a long story short, I have 4 kids that went through the public school system, and I have a daughter that's an English major who had 4 ears, and it's inherited by my mother. But nobody seems to understand in this country that ear hearing loss is as bad as having bad eyes. You understand when you say you have bad eyes, but no one understands when you say you have a hearing loss and nobody investigates.
You know, you raised some really interesting points there, doesn't he, Melanie?
Yeah, you're kind of speaking my language. I really like, I'm sorry you had that experience. I like that you're trying to raise awareness for the fact that we need to really pay attention to early detection of hearing loss for kids. You dealt with the repercussions of that not happening. Right now, it's actually in reauthorization legislation right now, but every child, for the most part in this country, receives a hearing screening at birth. That's relatively recent. And we also try to catch hearing loss in school as well. And so I think we still have a ways to go. And one of the ways to raise awareness and to talk about it. And so thank you for sharing your story. And that's why I'm here too.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jim, for calling. I appreciate it. You made some great points there. A couple of listeners, we're going back to the caller who couldn't find his phone, who could only hear in the one ear. Here's a great idea from a couple of listeners, which I didn't think of, and I should have. That person could set his phone on vibrate. And, you know, that's what I do when I'm on the air here with my radio show. And also, it can also light up when it rings. So if you've got it on vibrate and in your pocket, then you know where it is right away. And that's a really good tip. Well, Jim in Caledonia has something for us. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Larry. I think you're a state treasure.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to endorse the wireless headphones for everybody who wants to enjoy television. My wife and I are 73 and 74. We have differing levels of hearing, and we don't miss anything wearing headphones. I just put mine over one ear. She puts hers over both ears. And you can even understand the worst parts of BBC programs.
We're notoriously difficult to follow. I'm glad you called, Jim. Thanks for that. And so your headphones, and they're comfortable? Most of the new ones are comfortable?
Oh, very much. And there is a variety of them on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's kind of like what I was mentioning, but even more seamless if your TV is compatible with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Well, let's see. We've got Rich and Rhinelander emailed to remind listeners that there are lots of veterans out there with significant hearing loss because of experiences in the service. And also Bruce called to ask let's deal with that. And that's probably a good thing to comment on, Melanie.
Yeah, I think that Rich is absolutely right. There are a lot of veterans with noise-induced hearing loss. The VA system right now does an excellent job of serving those veterans. If the hearing loss is service-related, they're eligible for hearing aids through the Veterans Administration system. What is happening and what I'm hearing from my friends that work in the VA is that we're seeing a lot more younger veterans with hearing loss and needing hearing aids, hearing technology.
And Bruce wondered if you can have ringing in your ears but not have hearing loss.
You sure can. Sometimes it's a sign of a little hearing loss, and sometimes it just stands alone. If you have chronic ringing in the ears or in one ear, I would recommend going in for an evaluation just to kind of get everything all checked out and get a baseline of your hearing system.
Kevin in Madison has something for us now. Hi, Kevin. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It kind of is related to what you're just talking about with tinnitus, the ringing in my ears. I've had it for a couple of decades, a small amount of hearing loss, and I've tried virtually everything. And I was wondering if there's any promising developments on the horizon with those of us who suffer from tinnitus and just kind of what your thoughts are.
Well, Arlene called and asked the same question, so that's a good one. Any good new research out there?
So that is a great question. So let me just give the disclaimer that I'm not a tinnitus expert. It's part of my scope of practice, and I have some knowledge. I have a colleague, John Douglas, who actually has a tinnitus program at the university where he sees people for extended services. But just to speak to your question about the latest research, I think, you know, what many people are told is that there's no cure and you just have to learn to live with it. And I just want to let you know that there are things that can be done to help with the tinnitus or to help manage the tinnitus to make life more comfortable. There's, like my colleague Dr. Douglas does, there are some programs you can go through. There are devices that you can wear to learn to retrain your brain so that it is not so irritating and find relief. I would say, in answer to the latest research, I think kind of a hot area of tinnitus right now is some mindfulness-based tinnitus reduction strategies. So they're doing a lot with mindfulness and meditation and trying to just relieve the negative feelings that you have about the tinnitus. And you certainly could learn more we actually have a little link on our website with some information. And then if you wanted to take it a step further, my colleague has a plethora of information that he loves to share with patients.
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for your help.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. John in Wausau, turning to you next. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
Thanks for taking it. Well, I've got major tinnitus also. And it's to the point where I just turned the fan off. I've always got to have a fan going because it's so loud. I mean, it's extremely loud. And my pharmacist had an accident with a gun where the gun went off and his ears were really messed up. And I saw him the other day and he asked me how my ear ringing was. And I said, it's really bad. And he said, I'm using this stuff called lipoflavonoid, and it's supposed to get rid of ear ringing in like 60 days. You take like 9 pills or 8 pills a day, and it's supposed to get rid of it in 60 days. I'm wondering if your guest has heard of that before.
I have not heard specifically of that. I know there are a lot of over-the-counter supplements that are purported to cure tinnitus. And I just will let you know that the research has shown that there isn't a single pill that is a miracle fix for the symptoms, unfortunately. Now, it sounds like your pharmacist has found some relief. What I would suggest is be sure you check in with your healthcare provider to make sure the dose you're taking is safe if you're going to start taking it. And even if it's over the counter, just make sure you're taking it in a safe and healthy way. I do think some people find relief from some supplements, and I don't know a lot about that one. I'm sorry.
And I have another interesting observation. It's with the phone. When I put the phone in the ear that's really bad, people's voices sound higher pitched than they do in my right ear. Mm-hmm. Is that anything to worry about?
Well, it might suggest that the hearing is degraded a little bit in the ear where it's really noticeable. And so I don't know if you've had one, but I'd suggest getting a hearing evaluation just to kind of see where you're at. And that might give some clues as to what is happening with the tinnitus as well.
Yeah, worth a visit for sure, John. Good luck. Thanks for calling. And Sally in Adams, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Hi. I wear hearing aids myself, and I so wish for the day when they have the treble and the bass, and they can help me find out where the sound is coming from. And they just haven't come out with that yet. But I'm sure they're out there because, you know, I know football field coaches and stuff like that, they hear each other. So there must be some way to get that kind of device where you can hear others and orientation of where the direction is.
Yeah. Melanie?
I do think that technology is something that's really evolved and become amazing in recent years. The hearing aids are starting to talk to cell phones. A lot of people are using little microphones to hear people talking, like in a noisy restaurant, the really discreet, tiny little microphones that someone can clip on their shirt, and then you would hear their voice over the noise of the restaurant. And so that technology, and it's really come a long way and blossomed in the last several years. So that might be something to look into or talk to your audiologist about.
Directional microphones.
And directional microphones, those have been around for a long time with hearing aids, but all of this stuff paired with those can really help people in noise.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Sally. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And let's go back to your site and tell us again about the different things that you have available.
Oh, great. Okay. So I am an audiologist at the UW Speech and Hearing Clinic. And I think that there will be a post of our clinic's website on the page because we're separate from the hospital. We see patients of all ages. We do hearing tests, full and comprehensive hearing tests. We have a really nice program where we'll talk to people, consult with people about hearing technology. We are not for profit. We charge for our services, but we're not a for-profit business. Mm-hmm. And so people can come to us and know they're getting expert advice from people who teach it that aren't there to sell them something they don't need. And we have all of the cutting-edge technology because we're teaching it to our graduate students who are going to be audiologists.
That's great. And the site is HARP?
Yeah, that's for the low-income application. But our website, I believe, is www.wisc.edu/CSD, and it might be in a different order, so I might have to get it in writing for you.
Well, Jill will have that up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Melanie, always a pleasure. You'll come back again?
Sure, thank you.
All right, great to have you come back. Melanie Berlaller is a licensed audiologist, clinical associate professor in the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Great to have her with us. Lots of good information there about your ears. What about your eyes? We'll talk eyes and eye strain and preventing it next year on the Ideas Network.